and it was entitled Follow Me. So as you can see, we are trying to work together to worship the Lord together with a theme, and hopefully through that you can remember this week the examples that were set through music and through words and through scriptures. So we think about that, just a few words here in this one sentence. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ, Paul wrote in the first verse there. So we think about that. I know we used to play as kids, and I got to thinking back, and some of you know how old I am, so you know that thinking back as a kid, it's not too awful far. For the younger ones, they're going to think it was in the Dark Ages or the Bronze Age or something like that. But just a little bit of reminiscing was in 60 years how far technology has changed and how far our lives have changed and how quickly things have come and gone. But as we do, there were things that we did as a kid called kickball, softball, basketball. We would do Red Rover, Mother May I, those types of games. Kids today look at you kind of funny and say, how do you do that? You know? You don't do that. We used to physically do it. You know, hold hands and hope the other person running from the other side wasn't strong enough to break through. Now, that's something we did physically, not with buttons, did we? So they don't understand, the younger sometimes don't understand what we're talking about. But one game we also played occasionally was Follow the Leader. And we would follow a leader and go anywhere and everywhere they would, and they would jump over different things and go up down the streets and this way and that way, and we'd follow them. And we used to play those types of games. So as we think about Follow the Leader this morning, Paul tells us we are to follow the example that he has set, that he has gotten from Christ, who also set that example. So as we think about follow the leader, we look at that. King James says, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. As we think about that this morning, we think about the things that Paul had written. Now, if you'll notice, Paul was not a very nice person as Saul. Saul was the man that had papers in hand that was going around what? Persecuting Christians because they were praising Jesus and not Jehovah. And he had permission from the Romans to find these Christians and to bring them and have them executed, crucified, those types of things. And so we see that when he accepted Christ, he did a turnaround and he began to preach and teach the word of God until what? Two-thirds of the New Testament is written by whom? Paul. What a turnaround. What an example he has learned to set because of that. And so as we look at that this morning, we want to think about three things. Number one, what makes Paul a good role model? Now, as I just shared that, Saul would not have made a good role model and probably wasn't a good role model. Oh, he was in the Sanhedrin and he was pretty well known up in there. In fact, we also know that he was probably around when Stephen was stoned, and if they were correct, he even held the coats of the people that were actually throwing the stones at Stephen. He was in on that. And from that point on, he hated Christians. And what an example he set then to the others in the Sanhedrin, to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He became known. But when he accepted Christ, when God called him, he became a giant of a man. He went around and he started missionary churches, didn't he? He started churches in other places that people would not have thought of. Other Christians had not thought about it. He would sit there, he would evangelize the lost. He would discipline the saved and organize churches. And he would do it at the cost of his own life if it depended on it. Remember, he said what? I have been beaten, I have been shipwrecked, I have been threatened, all of that for what? For the name and glory of God. And so we see that his accomplishments were not because of himself, because Paul's health was poor. He had things that he had weaknesses with, and he recognized those, but he gave them to the Lord, and he wrote this. He said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest in me.'" Now, we have a tendency to use our weaknesses to get out of things, don't we? I'm not capable of doing that. When I was a young person, I used to think I could do anything. I was unstoppable, unconquerable. Now that I have gotten up in the age of past the limit of the AARP, and as things are happening, I'm not as strong, I'm not as capable, I'm not invincible anymore, so to speak. I have aches and pains, and sometimes I can look at my son and say, "Could you get that for me? I think my back is hurting me." We use it, don't we, to get things done. But God says what? I can take those weaknesses and I can use them for my glory, for my kingdom, and we should not, because he said, "My grace is sufficient for you." God will give us enough grace if he wants us to do something. I don't care what it is he wants you to do, you can do it because God says, "I will give you the grace, I will give you the power, I will give you the strength, physically, spiritually, and everything else. My grace is sufficient." And Paul realized that. And Paul was able to start these churches. Paul was able to write these letters to the churches that are now in our scriptures. And Paul was able to even die for God, for Christ. He sets an example for us. His relationship to the local church. Paul was not a lone ranger by any means. He sat there and he spent time in the churches trying to establish the churches, didn't he? He sat there and he saw the example from the early church. We have looked at that in our deacons' meetings now, looking at second chapter of Acts, where they started talking about meeting together and coming together, and how did that church work and do what it was able to do? It was because they followed God. They trusted in God. They obeyed God, and now we see that Paul is doing the same thing. He is trusting God, and these churches are being found, people are getting saved, and people are being discipled and organizing new churches. As we look at that, we can look at that into our own selves, can't we? We're a church. Why aren't we doing that? Where is our relationship with the Lord? Many times we call ourselves a church. We're a body of believers that come together, the Constitution says. But as we do that, are we really a body of believers? As I said the other week, our body of believers consists of, and other churches are just like us, there's no separation there. A lot of times we see each other on Sunday mornings, and we don't see each other until 7 days later at exactly the same time, 11 o'clock, the following Sunday, and we don't see or do anything with each other in between that time. But the early church said that they did what? They came together and they met daily. They broke bread together daily. They met needs daily, and they would sell off property or whatever, and they would give to those that were needed, and they knew those needs. There's not a person in here this morning that can say, "I don't have a need." We all have needs. We've all got things that we really need someone to pray with us with and share with us, and would love to be able to talk honestly with one another, but we can't do that, can we? And if we can't do that, then we're not like that first church. They came together, they prayed together, they sang together, they shared together, they did things together. And that's what he's called us to do. He reminds us of the importance of having a strong relationship with our church. We need to come together. God has given us the means to reach our goal to become like Christ by setting the example through Christ. And as we do, we need to know that our local church, we can put a sign out there, and we do have a sign out there, and put "you proper" or "y'all southern," whichever way you want to do it, whatever you want to do, "you're invited, come on in." And we found out that doesn't work, does it? People don't come because you put a welcome sign out front. Everyone's welcome. That doesn't bring them in. We have to set the example and see that it's a means of bringing together because people are loving one another and caring for one another. Secondly, what made Paul the man he was? First of all, his passion. He was very passionate in everything. He was very passionate about crucifying Christians. And when he accepted Christ, he became very passionate about God. He wanted to magnify God. He wanted others to see Christ within him. And he wrote to the Philippians in chapter 1, verses 20 through 21, "I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul was worried about everything I do reflecting Jesus. That was his worry. Am I living for Christ? Are others seeing Christ in me? The other week we asked the question, what is the influence we have in this community? What does this church have that influences this community? What does the community think of this church? Today, the question becomes this. What does people consider us? Do they know that we are members of Withful Baptist Church and that we come to church, but that's not what they see out in the community? Do they see somebody evil, someone hateful, mean, that you can't stand to be around? What do people see within you? Sometimes we think that all we have to do is just go out here and take the Bible and start sharing the Word of God with people, and that will be winning people to the Lord. That's not exactly wrong, but it's not exactly right either. We can't beat people over the head with the Bible. My dad used to try to teach me, don't do what I do, but do as what I say. And guess what? That don't work. I love my dad, and my dad could do no wrong. And when he did do wrong, monkey see, monkey did. And monkey got in trouble, dad didn't. So you see, the devil can take this Bible, and he can share, can he? He probably knows this scripture better than all of us put together in this room. But who's going to listen to the devil the way he acts with God's word? If we're not acting any different than that, we're in the same boat. What do people see? We can share the name of Jesus Christ without having this Bible in our hands. We share it by the example. Paul told us what? We are ambassadors, aren't we, for Christ. We're ambassadors. In our government, we have ambassadors. Those ambassadors are sent all over the country, aren't they? All over the world to represent the United States. That's what Paul is saying. We are representatives. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We're being sent all over the world in this community and all over this state and all over this country and all over this world as ambassadors for Christ. That means people should see what? Christ within us all the time. Unfortunately, we like to do it sometimes on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock, and if we come early enough to go to Sunday school, 10 o'clock, but then the rest of the week, we're just whatever. But God wants us 24/7. He wants us to have that passion that Paul had. He had his pattern to follow Christ. Everything I want to do is what Christ did. Everything my dad did, I wanted to do. Is that our attitude today? Do we want to follow him? Do we want to have the humility that Christ had? Do we want to see if we are strong enough, as Jesus was strong enough to die on the cross? The suffering that he went through, the beatings that he went through, he did it for us. And in return, he's asking us to do it for him. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to praise him, exalt him? Are we willing to see the prize? It was not enough for Paul to magnify and emulate Christ, but he wanted to know him. How bad do we want to know Christ? Do we want to know every detail? stories are told. Different people get together. Younger dates. A girl and a boy goes out to date. The group gets together. Tell me every detail about it. I want to know every detail about this. Do we want to know every detail about God? Do we want to know every detail about Christ? Do we want to know everything there is to know about our Lord? Or do we just want to know enough to get by? One of the things I've learned as I've gotten older and wiser was when I was in school, I just wanted enough to get by. A's didn't mean a thing to me. A D did. A D means that I got pushed over to the next grade, and that was good. That's all I needed. That's all I wanted. I didn't want to become one of those smart people. I didn't want to go to college. My parents wanted me to, but I didn't want to go. And now, as I study each week, I regret that I just got by. I have to read a book, and then I have to read it a second time and underline it, and then I have to read it a third time to start beginning to understand things. And then maybe that's why I don't like to read. I have times that I struggle with sermons, and there are times that I have people that help me with them. No, they don't write them. That would be nice, but no. If I did that, I wouldn't learn. But I need help. I need people praying. I also regretted not learning English, and my mother stays on me all the time about it. But you know, now I need to learn. And I'm thankful. Are you an English teacher? No, but you got a lot of English in you. Because she gets on me when I pronounce my words in the Old Testament. She said, "You didn't use that book." And I said, "Yeah, I did. I just didn't know what I was saying." So she's going to start helping me with those words to do them right. And it needs to be done if we want to glorify God. We can't just stumble around, folks. We need to lift Him up, and we need to see the prize, and then we need to see His power, the indwelling Spirit. Through Christ, Paul had the ability to be joyful at all times. 4:4, Philippians 4:4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say," what? Everybody, rejoice. We didn't rejoice, did we? We just said a word. Rejoice. Get excited about it. Remember when you first got your first car or a brand new car, you were excited, you wanted everybody to know about it, and every time somebody got too close with it, you'd get your rag and you wipe it off. You were excited, you wanted people to know about it. Don't you want people to know about Jesus Christ the same way? Through Paul, he says, Philippians 4, 6, and 7, "I can experience peace. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." How many times when something comes up do we react to an action? When the reaction we should have is what? Automatically fall on our knees and begin to pray. Let God help us make that decision. Remember, I told you a lot of times my prayer would be, "Lord, I made a mess of things. Now can you clean it up?" Sound familiar? Just think of how many heartaches we could have saved if we'd have fell on our knees and gave it to God right then and there. Through Christ, Paul learned to be content in all things, and we need to be content. So what if the Joneses have more than I have got? So what if they've got a bigger house? So what if they've got nicer cars and bigger bank accounts and all of that stuff? So what? I got something bigger than they got if they don't have Jesus Christ. I've got it all. They just got a little bit. They think they've got a lot, but it's just a little bit. When I've got Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I got the world. I got the heavens. I got the galaxies. I got the sunrises and the sunsets. I got everything. Everything. And that is what God has given us. Now, how do we apply this to ourselves? First of all, we need to realize we bring nothing to God. We bring nothing to God but us. No newfangled ideas, no nothing. We have nothing but to realize that our need is salvation through God. And just as we acknowledge our helplessness, God will take that and make it into a strength for us. When we walk in the Spirit's power, we manifest the truth. Paul told the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4:7, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." How many times have you sat there and said, "I don't know how that came about. I don't know how that worked out that way. I don't know how I came up with those answers." I do. I learned it the hard way. God provided it for me. God will provide us with what? Everything, if we trust in Him. And that same power that Paul had, as he had chains that came off his hands, as he walked through doors, as he was able to survive beatings and whatnot, how did he do it? Through God's strength. And we can have that same strength this morning. It's all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. That's the term. Do we want to be spiritual this morning? That's the question that we are asking in deacons' meetings. We are spiritual leaders of this church. Do we want to be spiritual? And if we're going to be spiritual, then we have to start acting spiritual. We have to start doing things from a spiritual standpoint. We have to start trusting in God and looking through the eyes of God. If that's going to happen, things are going to change. God is going to show us great and mighty things. We must choose to avail ourselves to God's power by connecting with Him, reading His Word, praying together, studying together, going to Bible studies and Sunday school and doing things together, by fellowshipping with other people, and most importantly, depending on the Holy Spirit. Do we want spiritual? Do we want to be spiritual? I guess that would be the question I need to ask this morning. Do we, me and each one of us here this morning, do we want to be spiritually aligned with God? And if we do, then how do we go about doing that? Let us pray. Father, we thank You for this day that You've given us and this opportunity. And as we come, Father, we thank You for the words that You've given us, the challenge. As Paul was an example that he found from Jesus, may we be examples of Paul and Jesus too. May others see Christ in us and follow us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning I was